Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for What's Up, starring Jack and Dick Watts, the dynamic duo of deplorables who come to you each and every week to teach you truth and what is happening in this crazy, I mean crazy, political world. As always, there's more to talk about than we can shake a stick at. The nice thing about having a radio show about politics and current events is that we don't have to create the dynamics of it. It's there for us. So this is really very nice. And there's a couple of things that I want to really get into here. But first, let me say hello to Richard. Richard, how are you?
I'm fine, Jack. And I hope all of our listeners know that you're fine now, that
yes,
we're both alive and kicking.
And ready to, as we like to say in the business, kick ass and take names. Number one, I want to say that, you know, with Johnny Radcliffe, the congressman from Texas, taking over for Dan Coats as the director of national intelligence, the DNI, I think this is a really good move because Dan Coats, good man, definitely a good man. He and the president, I mean, we're not on the same table quite a bit of the time. Dan Coats is a little bit of an establishment Republican, which is fine, but it isn't Trump's style. And Radcliffe is absolutely brilliant. And if you watched his testimony when he questioned Robert Mueller, it was one of the high points for what the Republicans had to say about that. Did you watch him on it?
I didn't see him during that whole thing. It reached a point with me and the Mueller thing that, you know, it was like blah blah blah. Can you repeat the question? Blah blah blah. It's not in my purview. Blah blah blah. I'm not going to get into that. It was just, you know, enough is enough. It didn't light my fire at all. That's for sure.
Well, the specific thing that, and this is kind of helps us morph into Mueller, which is what I really want to talk about. But with Radcliffe, he brought up how it is not in the purpose of a prosecutor to exonerate. And that is, here's my little thing about that, Dick. There were 17 lawyers in the Mueller team. And taking Mueller himself out there, you know, they had the 16, all of them were very liberal Democrats who hated Donald Trump. So they were out to get him, period. You know, he was the target from day one. All lawyers, prosecutors, and defense know that exoneration is not the standard. So that when they put that as the second to last word in the entire report, but we could not exonerate him. It was the specific purpose of this was to rile up people, make them hate the president, make them think that he's guilty when they could not find anything that went to the bar of probable cause. That's the standard, probable cause, not exoneration. and that they went to exoneration, they knew that that wasn't what they were supposed to do. They just did it to be, what is the word, S-H dot, 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 Y. That's why they
okay.
did it.
Okay. As it
were. And there was no other purpose than that. And
no.
And to make it where Trump, no matter what he did, couldn't win. It was
don't you think that they used Mueller, who, the more I hear about it, the more you realize that he didn't write the report at all, that it came from, was it Weissman, his second in command, and say, why did they do that? Well, Mueller was supposed to have been a Republican. So we're, you know, one Republican is looking into another one. Well, obviously that wasn't true from day one. It was 16 lawyers, and I think Mueller was the namesake. That was about it.
Yeah, I don't honestly think that Mueller read it, but it isn't even so much that as if they just used, yes, they used his name. This
yeah.
was, you know, literally the Wizard of Oz. Oh, a man of great
yeah.
intellect, a man of great integrity. He cannot be questioned. Wait on Mueller.
American
yeah. Mueller,
an American
you know,
patriot. He's an American patriot.
Yes.
He was U.S. Marine. Yeah, all right, go ahead. Yeah. Okay.
The Wizard of Oz will know what to do. We need to go
yeah.
to the Emerald City and see the Wizard of Oz. Just because of the wonderful things he does. And so for years, 2 years, we listened to this horse crap. Then he gets up there, and guess what? He's got dementia.
He spent too much time in the box on the way to see
well,
the wizard.
I don't think that's it. He's always been kind of taciturn, but that's not the issue. The issue is his mental competence is not there. Literally, he was the buffoon of the Wizard of Oz. And I mean, I looked at that and I thought, well, we got conned. I put up a little post. I said, anytime that I know we're being conned, I'm going to call it Mullard from now on.
Mullard.
We got Mullard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this was, and it wasn't just that this was the, you know, the liberal press that did this. It was the conservative press. It was everybody. You know, Mueller, he was the key figure, the man. And when we hurt, and, you know, they would have been so much better off to have not let him testify. He didn't want to testify. Bob
yeah.
Barr said, if he doesn't want to testify, it's okay with us. He'll have no problem. I think, personally, I don't know this, but I think personally that Bob Barr did that because he did not want his old friend, and they are old friends,
yeah.
to undergo the personal humiliation that he went through and have people like you and me talk about being Mullered and make his name a something that is to be ridiculed and scorned, laughed and mocked at. And that's what we're doing because it's fair game because we were conned.
Yeah. We were Mueller.
And now this, you know, this little toad, he reminds me of a character from, you know, from Harry Potter, Nadler, with his, pants pulled up right underneath his breast.
Yeah.
Oh, what a just, anyway, that he, is now saying, well, Bob Mueller did an outstanding job.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
They're saying that.
He's trying to muller you.
Remullering. You know, this is they want a remuller. A muller redo. Well, they aren't going to get it. And some of the things that they that he said in there were particularly bizarre. For example, yes, it was within the scope of what he was doing to have the, you know, to investigate the meeting at Trump Tower that lasted 20 minutes with that this guy, Svetlana, whatever her name was, you know, the Russian woman. But it was not within his purview to investigate the meeting she had the day before that lasted many hours with Glenn Simpson at GPS, or the day after the Trump Tower meeting with Glenn Simpson at GPS. Those were outside the purview.
He didn't know what GPS was.
I know it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, well, why would we want to investigate that? That didn't have anything to do with getting Trump.
Yeah.
That was our, that's our purview. Our purview was to get Trump. Anything that would be exculpatory would not be in our purview. Not my purview.
Yeah.
I can't have that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer that. Not going to talk about that. I take your question. What the hell is I take your question? What does that mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I take your question and you can shove it up here. You know what? That's what that means to me. I don't have any. I take your question. What? I don't get it. What does it mean? Does anybody know what it means?
Stand,
stand by for a Mueller. Well, they're going to continue with this. It's never going to stop. I mean, never. If Trump wins again, they'll still now. My hope is that we retake the House, but from what I understand, the Democrats are outraising people, you know, for running for the House substantially. So that's a that's not a good thing. While at the same time, Trump is just, you know, getting money left and right, you know, which is really good.
Yeah, but that can the RNC can support these people that are running against in the House.
True.
So, you know, you take from one pocket to pay another. There's no, nothing there. But you loosen sight of the fact that that the people in this country have not been mullered. They know exactly what's going on. And they hear and see what the Democrats want to do when it comes to green peace, when it comes to Medicaid for all. I mean, look at the things that they want to do.
You're breaking up a little. You're breaking up a little on the radio. Well, so go to a better spot. At any rate, while he is doing that,
There was an incoming call.
Oh, okay.
Was interrupting my phone. Yeah.
All right. So,
but
what are people saying up in Massachusetts? I mean, is this just not crazy and insane?
Well, you know, around where I am out here in the sticks, it's a lot more conservative than it is liberal. I mean, even people in Massachusetts are really wondering what Elizabeth Warren has ever done for this state. So she's starting to get some rumblings that she's kind of mullered us too. So, and of course, the other one is trying to latch on to Cortez and the Greenpeace and everything. I can't even think of his name, the senator up here. the other one, and
Bernie.
It's just not Bernie Sanders, the other Massachusetts senator, that he and Cortez have want to in each area, you know, propose their green peace or whatever the hell you want to call it, the Green Deal.
Moulton? You talking about Moulton?
No, he's a representative. I can't think of his name. There's Elizabeth Warren and this guy. He used to be a representative and then he became a senator. And
Sherrod Sherrod. Senator Sherrod.
No.
Is that right? Man, I'm just making all kinds of wild guesses that aren't any good. All right, well,
yeah. Whatever. It's not a big deal anyway, because neither one of them have seemed to have done anything. I mean, the general consensus up here is that Elizabeth Warren has really even, I mean, she hasn't proposed any bills. She hasn't done anything. And the general consensus up here is, why don't you go get me the beer and call it a day?
I want to morph a little bit to, you know, the brouhaha between Elijah Cummings and Trump, and Trump making reference to the inner city of Baltimore as a rat-infested slum, which, of course, it is. And just in kind of introducing that, I wanted to say that, you know, also in cities like Los Angeles, the rat infestation is now so bad because of, you know, all of the things that have to be done for the great and wonderful homeless and, you know, needles and the whole, that bubonic plague is coming back. Bubonic plague. Now, let me just tell our listeners, you know, when you hear the word bubonic plague, there are probably a lot of people that really don't even know what bubonic plague is, but it's a it comes from rats, and the plague itself comes from ticks and fleas that are on the rats, and it gets, once humans get it, it spreads very rapidly. In the Middle Ages, because of rat infestations like what we see now in Baltimore, in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, parts of New York, many other cities, all Democrat run, by the way. This is called the Black Death, the plague, the Black Plague, and it decimated the world's population. Up to 80% of human beings died from the plague in the Middle Ages. This is biblical stuff of the level that is from the book.
Isn't it kind of a horrible death, too?
Well, yes. Yes.
Is there
fever, vomiting?
Is there a cure for it? I mean, did they ever? I thought they had wiped it out, and now it's coming back again. So I don't know.
Yes, there's a cure for it. There are antibiotics now at work that can kill the bubonic plague. That's the good news. The bad news is it was eradicated. It didn't have to be an issue ever again in American history, in world history. And it's happening in our major cities, places that are supposed to be our, you know, number one places in the, you know, they write songs about San Francisco. They write songs about L.A.
Huh.
Not anymore. The Mamas and Papas song wouldn't do us any good anymore, would it?
No. Not California dreaming anymore.
Not California dreaming. People are leaving in droves. I mean, this is, and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. But my issue is, this is not a, okay, the failure is with the thinking and mindset of progressives that would allow the deterioration to, you know, to take hold like this. I get it. But the plague is no respecter of human beings. It won't just, and just by the way, people will die from the plague. I mean, maybe not 80% of the world's population. But of course, there are places in the world that don't have, if people get this and they travel from L.A. or these other rat-infested places and they go other places, it can decimate entire populations. It absolutely can. Essentially, the United States would be like the Ivory Coast that brought us, what was it a couple of years ago that we were so afraid of? What was that? And the missionary got it. And,
AIDS.
Ebola.
Ebola. Yeah.
So L.A. with the plague would be sending to the world the Ebola that could cause third world countries and, you know, places like Somalia or Yemen or Bangladesh or Nigeria or the Sudan or places in, you know, in rural India. Millions could die of this stuff, and all because of these stupid progressive leaders who think that they are just doing wonderful things by letting people live on the street, defecate in the outside of restaurants where people are eating at tables, and these homeless people come up, pull down their pants, and defecate in the gutters in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, and in many other places. This is the kind of leadership, and they want, and they are griping about Donald Trump because he criticizes this stuff. I want to be like Vince Lombardi. What the hell's going on around here?
Yeah.
This is really bad stuff.
Yeah.
And not not good. Not good. Hey, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, I did think of the mass senator is Ed Markey. That's who I was trying to think of. Ed Markey.
Who?
Ed Markey. M-A-R-K-E-Y.
I didn't know that he became a senator.
Yeah, he was a rep, I believe, down in the Cambridge Brookline area. Became a, you know what happened was, the senator that died, and his wife, they made her the senator, and then she just decided not to run again, and Markey pretty much took her spot. There's another name I can't think of, but then again, I wasn't thinking of them anyway. Well, these are the same.
You're not thinking Ted Kennedy.
No. I'm thinking. No. He was. He was a good guy, as I recollect it. He ended up getting cancer or something and died. It's not anywhere near in my head right now. Now I lost my train of thought. Where was I?
That's all right. I want to shift anyway.
Go ahead.
In the last 5 minutes, I want to talk a little bit about what we think is going to happen now with the putting Radcliffe in as the DNI. This isn't just to help the intelligence community. This is to help Bob Barr put everything together. Radcliffe is a first-rate federal prosecutor. This is also to help him put together everything so that all of the people who have committed crimes in, and there are a lot of them, in putting together this entire Russian collusion hoax, because the only Russian collusion was with the Democrats, they're going to indict them all. We're going to see, I mean, we've been wanting this, calling for this, hoping for this. By putting Radcliffe in place, and there is nobody in the Senate or the House who knows more about what has happened than Radcliffe. He knows as much as Trey Gowdy. He knows as much as Senator Lindsey Graham. And he's every bit as competent as Trey Gowdy. And he's every bit as competent as Senator Lindsey Graham. This is the piece in the puzzle that it's like, okay, now I've got my team together. It's kind of like with Barr, you know, you've got Tom Brady, but no tight end and no wideout that any good, you know, to catch the ball. With the new people in place, it's about to happen. I would not be surprised with Congress on with the House on, in recess for 6 weeks, just beginning that by the that. Throughout something in August is going to happen where this is all going to start really cutting loose. And we were all for this happening August last year, and frankly, even August almost the year before. But, you know, it has just taken forever. A lot of people have lost heart and think that it isn't ever going to happen, but it is. And boy, is that not a sweet thing?
That's that right.
I am 100% all for it. So, you know, these are the things that, you know, that keep us going and that we need to, you know, encourage our audience to say, okay, this is, you know, this is going to happen. There's going to be justice. There's going to be accountability, which we have not seen accountability. We haven't seen accountability. Oh, my goodness. Pretty much since Ronald Reagan or the first Bush. Certainly not with Clinton. Bush 43 was, let's just face it, he was a pathetic president. And yeah. Obama was the worst in American history. But, you know, now we've got somebody and they want him bad because they don't want any of this accountability. In all of this, we've also got, you know, Epstein and the perversion that's part of all of it, too. And that, you know, we haven't even addressed that, but we will next week. So that's kind of what's happening.
Let me just throw in that Ed Markey actually took over when John Kerry became Secretary of State.
Okay.
That's
there
where
we
he
go.
Came from. Yeah. So he slipped right in. Yeah.
As pathetic as
Markey. This should be interesting because we've got a couple of nights coming up of, what is there, 24 people still running for president? And I guess come September, they're going to whittle it down because they're really changing the rules dramatically, aren't they? You have to have like 10% of something or other or this and that. So
yeah,
it may
yeah.
bring it down to 4 or 5 at that point. We'll see what happens. But
I'm,
I'll be happy
know,
to give some
I'm,
guys.
I'm already tired of them, but we're out of time. So let me just say God bless you and God bless the United States of America. We'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.